This is Emotional Connection with Raphael Kushner. It's my personal and professional passion to help people access their emotions directly. This simple but rare process, for those who master it, provides greater wisdom, success, and most of all, well-being. Each week on this podcast, I share a recent session recorded with a client facing a particular challenge. This gives you, the listener, a chance to see the process of emotional connection in an up-close, unedited fashion, applied to practical, everyday concerns. Whenever you get the gist of the issue at hand and want to dive into the process itself, feel free to skip ahead in the podcast. For more information on this work, please visit my website, livingthequestions.org. This is also where you can reach me to ask questions and provide feedback, schedule your own private session by phone, get listings of upcoming events in your area, and learn about our unique year-long program. Once again, that's livingthequestions.org. This week, our sponsor is Podcast Potpourri. This is a quality program of unique, original, and sometimes beyond the norm topics. It can be heard at podcastfromtheheart.com, one of the podcasting channels on Yaktivate, where this podcast also originates. Podcast Potpourri is updated weekly and includes an interesting array of guest speakers, from psychics to teachers to authors to healers, as well as ordinary people making a big difference in the world. You can listen at podcastfromtheheart.com anytime, any day, online, or download it to your podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, and now, enjoy Emotional Connection. Hello, we are here today with Linda. Linda, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I've had the pleasure of getting to spend some time with you in workshops, and I know that you're a person who is really committed to presence and personal growth. So I was excited to find out that you wanted to be part of our podcast series, and I also know that you're what I would consider a kind of fearless warrior. And so when you wrote about your the issue that you wanted to look at that had to do with rage issues that you noticed were coming up in you, which is sometimes for some people even just hard to admit. So I honored that immediately. And then when you said you thought it might have to do with men and you wanted to kind of get to the bottom of that, I thought that was going to be really helpful, hopefully for you, but especially for people listening. So all that made me very excited about our time together here. And then when we just started talking before the call and you told me that there were different things that were up that may or may not be connected, I thought even better, because often we start somewhere and end up somewhere completely different, or we think it's going to be a certain way and it's a different way. And so I asked you if you were willing to just dive in a place of not knowing, explore all these issues and see how the different pieces connect, and you said yes. So again, thank you for that. And what I'd like to do is begin by having you just kind of ramble a little bit. You don't have to make a whole lot of sense or put all of the, pieces together neatly. Just talk a little bit about, this overall issue that you're wondering about and that's, been giving you some difficulty. And I'll ask a lot of questions, and I think together we'll find out exactly where we need to go. So why don't you dive in if you're ready?
Okay. The rage came up in the context of a conversation with my ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of talking about what went wrong in the relationship. And pretty quickly, I found myself screaming at him. Mm-hmm. We were outdoors in a park, and there wasn't anybody around. And what I heard myself saying, I remember one thing is, I was screaming at him for being interested in other women, and at one point I screamed, "Do I seem like a woman who knows how to love a man?" Because he had told me that I loved him better than any woman had ever loved him in his life, And then, so I, and he said yes, and I screamed with him, why am I alone? So it seemed, and it was, so it seems like that rage didn't really belong to him personally. It was more like my frustration at my pattern of not being able to get it right with men.
Mm-hmm.
And a pattern of falling in love and then hitting a real roadblock and the relationship falling apart. Mm-hmm. So, so that was a huge surprise to me that here I was yelling at him about really what felt like my anger at God or the universe or circumstances or the patterns in my life, or it didn't really belong to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So that was what was happening on that day. And then more recently, I've just talked to him, and he's not doing well. He's not finding another relationship, and he's lonely and sad and frustrated. And in some way, I feel responsible. I feel sad that he's struggling. I feel sad that he's in pain, because the love that I felt for him, I still feel. I love him as a being. I don't like to see him suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings up sadness and a feeling of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, as you began talking about it and explaining how the rage came up, you mentioned that, you know, you sense that it was about this pattern that you had in relationships, that you would enter into them and then, you know, hit some kind of wall and not be able to make it through to the other side. There may very well be a lot that is within you that is, you know, let's say, magnetizing that pattern. At the same time, though, I just want to step back because, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about this before our call began, and just from the details that we shared, it was clear to me that whatever happened in that relationship, that it wasn't something, it wasn't something in you or about you that made it so that the relationship couldn't go forward in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
So when you decided to leave the relationship, and you know, whatever happened leading to this combination of rage and then now sadness, I'm wanting to specify with you, because I think it can be helpful in our exploration, that if there's a pattern in all of that, it has to do with the choosing, not necessarily with your behavior within the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that a distinction that is meaningful to you?
Yeah. When you say the choosing, do you mean choosing that partner?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So is there a profile that you could give me, you know, if you had one paragraph to describe who is the person that you're having a relationship with over and over and over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely mm-hmm. tell you that. It's a very wounded man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a man who has some pretty severe issues mm-hmm. around intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
He might be a commitment phobic. He might mm-hmm. be a borderline personality. He might be an addict.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was an addict.
Mm-hmm.
But these are pretty serious issues from childhood.
Whose childhood do you mean?
From the man's childhood. And I know that I'm vulnerable because my father was a very wounded man and
mm-hmm.
Never really grew up, and I felt very responsible for him.
Mm-hmm.
I felt in some way responsible for the real unrealized potential in his life,
mm-hmm.
that somehow I should have been able to do something to save him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think I fall in love with a man's potential, and also my potential for healing the issues that I sense there.
Right. It sounds like what you're saying is, and tell me if I'm hearing this right, that you have a pretty powerful recognition that in seeking out, even just unconsciously, men who are very wounded, and then getting into relationship with them and trying to do your best to save them, that in essence, you know, what you're trying to do on an unconscious level is get it right finally and save your father, you know, in the way that you never actually could when you were in your primary relationship as a child with him.
Yes.
Okay. And so how long would you say it's been since you had that kind of core realization?
Oh, I think I realized that about 10 years ago.
Okay. And about how many relationships would you say that you've been in since then that have fit the same pattern?
Two more.
Okay. And was it clear from the start, or did it get revealed along the way?
Do you mean that I was doing the same pattern with these two men
recently?
Yeah. It was revealed along the way. In fact, this last man seemed to me like, when I first met him, like he had done his inner work, and I was convinced of that. So that revealed itself over time.
Right, right. Now, the that question is important and for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons it's important is because so many people, I think, can really relate to that. The idea that, wait, you know, I've been doing my work, and, you know, he seemed to be doing his work. And then lo and behold, we get into a relationship and, you know, smack, I'm right back down where I used to be. And it feels often, you know, unfair, confusing, and a little bit like fate, you know, like I'm just damned to have this experience over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a little bit about, does that reflect some of the things that, you know, would come up for you when you found that out?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then once we get that, we're here again. We have a lot of choice, even though it seems like we were led, you know, by you know, a chain to the same moment. We have choice, and we're not the same person that we were last time, but there's also a limit to our choice because it's a healing journey that two people can take together, but only if they're both willing and able to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So in this situation, I haven't talked that much to you about this part of it before. What was when you got to that place, was your first inclination to try to make it a healing journey between the two of you?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And then tell me, you know, kind of briefly how that went.
I was in that place, and he was in a very dark, confused, uncooperative, confused place. Mm-hmm. He wasn't there with me, and I didn't hang out there for very long, maybe a couple months, waiting for him to come around, and he didn't. He couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He couldn't. He came to me at the very last minute and said, is it too late to talk about not breaking up? And by then, it was too late for me. I had given up. I was not going to wait around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was just not in that place at the time when I was willing to go on a journey.
Right, right. So, you know, when we began our call, one of the things I said was that I consider you a fearless warrior, and this is part of what I'm referring to. You know, you have a pattern. It's deep. You don't like it. You don't want that to be the case. You're surprised when it comes back around and grabs you, but you want to do the work. You know, you want to say, okay, we must be here together, you know, I almost was going to say for a reason, and then I stopped because I don't usually talk like that, you know, like everything happens for a reason. But I guess a better way to say it would be, you know, we're here and we have a mutual opportunity.
Right.
So let's take the opportunity. Are you going to be the person with whom I move through some of these things that I can only move through with another person, and more to the point, that I can only move through with somebody who actually triggers me in the way that you trigger me.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it out there and you said, I'll do it. I'm ready. And he wasn't ready.
Right.
So, you know, you were a fearless warrior when you got to that situation. You could have run for the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't do that. You put it out there. And then also you were really empowered when you decided not to stick around very long because, you know, the point was life is short. You really want to do that healing. You really want to have a positive intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't going to be able to get it in that situation. So you moved on.
Right.
Right. Now, when you got back in touch with him and you had this encounter, and as you said, you suddenly raged in a way that wasn't about him, and the core of the rage was, you know, why am I alone?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, first of all, and I want to ask you some, I hope they don't seem too simple questions, but I think they're important for the overall picture here. I get when you ask that question, and just from knowing you, that you don't want to be alone, that you want to be in an intimate relationship with a man.
Yes.
Okay. So just tell me briefly why. What do you want from that relationship?
I want the benefits of growing through issues that only come up for me when I'm in a relationship. It is much easier for me to feel great about myself when I'm not in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I start to feel really sane and really good, and except for those lonely times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not pushed to look at the deepest stuff that's broken in me somehow. The only time I get a chance to do that is when I'm in an intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Now, and also, I guess I'm sick of the feeling of having to do life alone. It's very
mm-hmm.
difficult to not have a partner in many ways. And I'm really strong, and I can do it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing it. So mm-hmm. so there's that. So, I'm really aware of, I'm not in the place where I have been in the past of thinking that my life would somehow be better if I had a partner.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that I could be more effective in the world. I want a partner who shares my values, who wants to do some healing work, and I want to do that healing for myself and for everyone around me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If there's anything else you want to add, or does that pretty much sum it up?
I think that sums it up.
Okay. So I'm just going to name them again to make sure that I heard them right. The first one was, I want someone to help me do the deep healing work that I can only do in relationship. Right? That was number one.
Right.
Number two was, I'm tired of just doing everything by myself. I can and I will, but I'd rather not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one was, I also would like to find someone who wants to be of service to the world in a similar way that I do, so that we can kind of leverage each other's desire and effort and do more together than we could do, you know, either one of us on our own.
Yeah, that's right. And it strikes me that there's one more thing that I mm-hmm. didn't say because it seems obvious to me, but it's that I want a great sexual relationship. I want some outlet for my sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's something I'm struck by, and I want to ask you about it. Sometimes, you know, you just make a list up on the spot because I put you on the spot and something, you know, gets left off the list. But one thing that wasn't on the list was something along the lines of somebody with whom to, you know, be at ease, relax, share joy, serve one another's happiness, have fun, all that kind of yummy stuff that comes from a positive relationship.
Yeah.
So is that really, when you're honest, of equal concern and you just didn't put it on the list, or is it important that it wasn't on the list somehow?
I think it's telling that it wasn't on the list. I have recently been saying to myself, I want somebody who's fun and easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of speaks to that. But I think it's true that I seem to have sort of a Puritan work ethic about relationship thing. And that's maybe because, I'm a child of 80s California therapy culture. But yes, I do want that, and I think it's interesting and revealing that it wasn't on my list.
Mm-hmm. And so I get that you're doing, the alone life well, and that you're a strong woman and you're capable. How are you at having all that yummy stuff, the part that you can do on your own? Obviously the sexuality is a different issue, but in other words, do you feel like you structure your life to the best of your ability and make choices and live into your life in such a way that you maximize your well-being and joy?
Yes, I really focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Yes,
so
I
tell
make.
Me, tell
I make
what that
time
looks
to.
Like for you.
I make time to play with friends.
Mm-hmm.
I play in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
That's my main outlet. I play my guitar.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important to me.
Okay, and internally also, do you feel the inside of Linda, her subjective reality, every day, is a peaceful and a joyful place to be?
On my best days, yes.
Right. Well, that's an honest answer. That's pretty much, what anybody, even, I guess what I'm saying is that if you told me yes all the time, you wouldn't seem like a human being. So that sounds like, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's interesting because you cultivate that in your life, and it's almost as if you have, we don't know exactly how much healing work you need to do. You've certainly done a lot of work. You're ready to hang into a relationship, hang in when a relationship gets tough. You want a partner that's going to last, more than a short period of time. I don't think anybody is doomed, by a pattern. But I'm wondering, in listening to you share about this, if you have been actually in a certain way intending for a relationship that is going to end up being a kind of grinded out relationship, and that the men who have been appealing to you, whether it's knowingly or like in this last situation, unknowingly or unconsciously, I should say, are giving you exactly what it is that you have wanted. The only thing that's missing is that you thought you were going to do it with them, and they would only take it to a point, and then, you had to do the rest of it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, I want to ask you to feel into this possibility that you met someone and got into a relationship, and the main experience between both of you was ease and peace and joyfulness and connection, and there wasn't deep healing work to do. Or at least, you wouldn't hit the same kind of wall. There might be things that would come up, but even there, it would be surprisingly easy to hear each other, to really shift where necessary, and to open and explore, you know, oneself between the two of you when it was necessary. So there was no stuff in the same old way that you were used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it wasn't actually meeting your first intention in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a healing relationship, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a healing that came through struggle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you feel into that, how do you respond? What, you know, does it attract you? Does it confuse you? I mean, take a moment even just to go in for the felt sense of it, as opposed to, you know, your thoughts about it. I'm going to actually talk about it for a moment more so that you can kind of just get inside there. I just want you to imagine, you know, calling up some of your close friends and saying, you know, in a way, this is the last relationship I ever imagined I would be in, because it's easy and we flow. And a lot of times we don't even have anything to work on. We don't even have anything to talk about sometimes, because it just feels nice to be living side by side and experiencing just the joy of that connection. So what does that feel like?
I am so ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's like a 100% conviction.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You actually cultivate that kind of experience within yourself, as you described it to me.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the only thing that may have been out of alignment with that is how you saw the relationship that you were supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, maybe because you were a culture of 80s, you know, California therapy, or for whatever reason, including, you know, the legacy of what you came out of having to do with your father and what that relationship was like for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm wondering, and I could be completely off about this, so I'm not attached to whatever answer you come up with, but do you think that you have been equally ready for that kind of relationship all along, or is that something that you feel that you've evolved into?
I feel like I've evolved into it. I think it's only pretty recently that I've begun to understand that that I can create that feeling for myself, and then I can... It's like I've had to do a mental... I'm really needing to work with my mind to say, you know what? If that person never presents himself, I am still having that experience. Because in the past, I've maybe had an inkling that I wanted that kind of relationship, and then my mind steps in and says, yeah, right, where are you going to find that? How many available men are there on the planet at your age, let alone men who are evolved enough to be easy to be with? So, you know, I've had to just push that mind talk out of the way and say, doesn't matter, I'm having that experience by myself or with somebody else, but I'm not willing to step back into the same kind of struggle relationship that I've had in the past.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's beautiful as you articulated it. The only thing I would caution is, and it may just be a language thing, you know, when you said I have to push those thoughts out of the way,
mm-hmm.
I think when you push anything out of the way, it pushes back.
Mm-hmm.
So my invitation to you would be, when you notice the self-talk about, you know, who are you kidding, and everything that comes after it, if you could meet it like an old friend, you know, or maybe it's even more appropriate to say like, you know, an old, annoying, but also somehow, you know, comfortable and familiar relative, you know. Oh, there you are again, you know. Welcome. Hey, hang out as long as you want. I'm going to be over here, you know, building inside of myself the environment that's going to attract this relationship I want. But, you know, stay around if you want. Come join in, too, if you want. I think that that's going to create a little bit more peacefulness for you without the pushback.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. But I also just want to go a little further into this that with a question. How soon in your previous relationship, looking backwards now with the benefit of hindsight, how soon were you really able to know, not that, you know, the big issues were going to show up, because we've already talked about that, that took you by surprise, and it often does, but how soon were you really, if you had been tuned in, would you have been able to know, this is not going to be that easy, peaceful, joyful relationship that I want?
I would say within the first 10 minutes of talking to this man for the first time. And
well,
I have realized that in hindsight.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty clear, isn't it?
It's very clear. There were red flags.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I realized that a big part of the distress of my experience was that I kept having strong feelings. This is not where I want to be. This is disturbing to me. And I somehow made myself wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you got to hang in here. Nothing any better than this is going to show up, so you better hang in here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the main congestion for me, mm-hmm. in the whole relationship was I would have my feelings of disturbance and I would push them down and go on in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, check into this a little bit more. If you knew that from the beginning, mm-hmm. what was the surprising part that got revealed later?
I guess it was that at first he was all talk about, he knew all the talk, all the therapy talk. He knew this about himself. You know, he seemed very self-aware to me in the men's movement, going to a men's group, had been in therapy, knew all these things about himself, realized how his father was a poor role model for him, very aware. So it took me, I guess, a long, long time to realize that he had done all that work on himself because he needed to, because he had severe issues, and that he had all the same self-help books as me on his shelf because he had big stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
and was not an easy person to be in relationship with for that reason. So that was the realization.
I understand. Well, but it seems like there's something else that is there, just, you know, a really important point. The more sophisticated we get along the way when we're trying to sort out this relationship stuff, the more difficult it is for us to be fooled.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that probably could have fooled you was somebody who had all the talk and all of the experiences which seemed to add up to being ready and able to use the tools when necessary.
Exactly, yeah.
And then it turned out, you know, all those workshops and books were for naught because when push came to shove, it wasn't making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I really get that. I mean, I think that for many people is the last stage. You know, it's not even that he or she looks so good on paper. It's that we like the same things. We've gone to the same kind of workshops. And it's really fascinating how people can go through all of that, and it ends up being, let's say, more of a costume than an authentic internal reality.
Yeah, right.
But what is also really interesting, going back to what you said earlier, if you had been entering into that relationship saying, you know, I can't heal my father in a relationship with a man, and I can't heal the part of myself that feels broken from not having been able to heal my father, or not having been able to get from my father what I needed, and you were attuned just to the overall quality of the relationship and what it felt like on the, you know, ease and joy and connection meter, if that was where you were mostly focused and attuned, it sounds like very early on you would have said, nice person, God bless him, but not for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you are 100% clear on the kind of relationship that you want to be in, and you can, you know, marshal all of your own resources to stay attuned in that way. But also you can ask your friends and supporters to say, when I get into the next relationship, please be my torchbearer for that kind of connection and listen to me and even quiz me and watch us together to see, is that, you know, what I seem to have been attracting, and is that what's showing up for me now, according to what you see?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really different project, don't you think?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So, but then we come to the next thing, which is, where the hell is this guy?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is where a certain kind of faith comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not faith, you know, in God or in karma or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's faith that when I shift my inner consciousness, that things also shift to meet me in ways that I can't predict or even understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what's true for me personally, and what's true for, you know, just about everybody I encounter, you know, who's looking in this kind of way, is that when we take that leap into the next, you know, persona, let's say, into when we open and expand into our fullness, I think that's a better way to describe it, that opportunities and people appear. That it doesn't make it wouldn't have made sense to the part of our previous consciousness that was doing the statistical analysis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a part of us that's going to say, well, okay, this is the town I live in. This is how old I am. This is how many single guys there are. This is what most men are like, you know. And now on top of all that, I can go to the workshop and meet the great guy, and it can turn out that, like, he has all the tools, but he doesn't even know how to use them, or he's not willing to use them. So really I've got, you know, a 0.001 chance of having a relationship with that kind of guy that I just started intending. So what's the use?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to share with you is that the part of you that asks those questions, which is a valid part of you, and it deserves to have its day and not to be pushed away. But the thing about it is that it can't understand what happens with that sort of shift in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It can't factor that in. It doesn't make any sense that our life experience would change as a result of an internal shift in intention and a positive inner environment to support that intention, because it's really more of a data gatherer, you know, and an odds maker,
mm-hmm,
than it is the part of ourselves that can let go into the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So the faith that I'm talking about really is just trusting the mystery,
mm-hmm,
that when you go in the direction of your heart's calling and when you intend fully to live that calling, the mystery meets you somehow, and you can't know what that looks like until it happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would, if we were having a conversation about practical advice, you know, I would ask you, are you doing this and are you doing that, and have you thought of going to this, you know, retreat center, and what about this group? And you would tell me, most likely because I know you a little bit, yes, I'm doing that, yes, I'm doing that, you know, I'm doing all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust that you are, and I even trust beyond that if some new ideas come up or other possibilities, you know, that you'll go for those too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually not about that, mm-hmm. ultimately.
Yeah.
Because when you have made the shift, you know, and you decide that, you know, on this day, for some reason, even though you eat healthy and you take care of your body, you just have to go to 31 flavors, you know, and you've never been there before in your life, and you don't even think you'd ever want to befriend anybody who ever steps into that place. You know, there's a guy who's never crossed your path before, who's not on any of those other paths, who matches this new intention and who perhaps even just was having that same thought that same very day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I'm saying is the parts of the project that are external, as in, you know, where you go, the places you put yourself in to be available for that relationship,
mm-hmm.
that's good, important work. You need to be doing that. But usually how it happens isn't directly from that work.
Right.
And so you just need to honor the part of you that looks at the odds and frowns and shakes her head, and then at the same time open to the part of you that can trust the mystery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even trust it just a little, you know, because maybe that can grow in time, but to trust enough so that you can say, well, I'm going to do this because it is my calling, and the truth is it feels much better anyway to be intending in this way and already to be feeling, you know, the joy that will come from that connection, because I already have it from the connection with myself and my close friends. And so it's a better way to live, and, you know, even if there's an iota of mystery in this, I want to be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one little iota of me that's willing to be open to the mystery, I'm going to support that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that all makes good sense to me.
Okay. So then what we need to do is we need to, I have sort of shared with you some what I would call pre-digested yeah buts, meaning I talked about the well then where is he part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But do you notice inside of yourself any additional yeah buts that we haven't talked about? Or even flat out no ways?
No, I don't. I think that very recently I have arrived at everything you just said. I have had those realizations,
mm-hmm.
and there aren't any no but yeah buts.
Well, you know, it's always a pleasure to be in support of someone's remembering or someone's coming to their own insight. Ultimately, that's all that someone can do in my position anyway. And I hear that in your voice. I hear that in your in the energy behind your voice. You know, it's interesting because when we started the call, you were experiencing, you know, some sadness because of the recent conversation you had with your ex.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't sure if it was connected to the anger or not. And the anger, I'm just going to speak to it like this, and you tell me if this is accurate. It feels to me like that anger was a cry of longing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the why am I alone is really, I really want to be with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've had the cry of the longing for a long time, but what's new is the which kind of someone.
Yeah, right.
So I feel, you know, really, I feel strongly that if we talked in some months from now, there'll be a different story to report. There will be something happening that is in alignment with this place that you've come to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hopeful that you will use your friends as that support mechanism, the way I was talking about, and me as that support mechanism. But what's so great is that you – well, I'm coming back over and over to this theme of you as a fearless warrior, and it's because the shadow side of the fearless warrior is the one who only knows what it is to be a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that person who is addicted to personal growth and who has a, you know, what the people who created Voice Dialogue, Hal and Sidra Winkleman, call it the New Age pusher, you know, the one that's always urging them onward, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what's so great about you is that, you know, we talked about it and you said, oh, yeah, you know, that is probably telling, and I probably do have that. And then when we talked about the other side of it, you said, yeah, and I'm totally ready for this other thing too. So I feel that you've gotten to where you got to as a result of having that, you know, fearless warrior consciousness in you. And it's even more fearless in that it's willing to transform now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go forward and seek out that which brings you joy, and the healing can now come from the joy rather than from slogging it out.
Yeah. Yes, and I think that the meaning of the last three relationships was, okay, I get it. This is not where I should be going.
Mm-hmm.
This is not where the prize is.
Right.
And I'm really getting it. I really get it.
And, you know, you got it the last time in 10 minutes, but it took however long it was to unfold for you to say, okay, and now I have to move on.
Yeah, right.
So part of staying in alignment with your intention that is much clearer now and fuller and ready to come to fruition is to not spend more than that 10 minutes if that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it feels sad because, oh, it seemed good for the first 9.
Yeah,
you
right.
know?
Right.
And also, too, I would suggest, and this one is a little odd and may seem like it doesn't fit exactly, but I would suggest giving yourself the opportunity to be with men, even if, you know, it seems pretty clear that it's not going anywhere,
mm-hmm.
This is not the right person for you,
mm-hmm.
But to be with them in social settings where what you get to experience is yourself in a very different energetic.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is that, you know, we talked before about as different as they all were, there was a certain sense that this was the same man and you were having the same relationship over and over,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So even if you went out with someone a couple times and, you know, they had certain life interests that were completely opposite from you, and it just, you know, you just thought, you know, I'm not going to be going to football games every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so you knew that it wasn't the right match for some other kind of reason. Just to feel what it would be like to be in the presence of a man and to have a back and forth in terms of the flow of conversation and feeling and energy that is foreign to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just to start to feel comfortable in all kinds of different connections with men to help kind of loosen up, you know, the networks inside of you that are kind of only used to that other way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I'm open to doing that.
And we know for sure that project, you know, is a lot easier to put together on a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
Than, you know, the project of, you know, let's say, the right next partner for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because even for the statistician inside of you,
mm-hmm.
you know you can do that. You know, you can go out and meet someone and, you know, have a coffee or go to a museum or listen to a talk. I mean, you can even meet that kind of person online. And there's only one caveat, which is that very quickly that part of you who is responsible for everything
mm-hmm.
will step in and say, wait, you know, if you're not serious, you can't mislead anybody, or like, who are you kidding? Or, you know, it's not fair. I mean, there'll be lots of reasons why you might want to talk yourself out of just having that drink.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are lots of people who would probably love the same experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, we don't owe people the rest of our lives, you know, sometimes, just to play in the field of connection.
Right. Got it.
So when it seems like you're just, you know, feeling joyful in your own life, when it seems like the possible connection isn't happening yet, you know, you haven't found that guy in 31 flavors or at the next workshop, and you're feeling a little impatient, it's kind of like a side project that feeds the main project is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mix it up and recognize that every time you do that, you're sort of freeing yourself to see more, be more, play more. And in the process, really what happens, I think you get your all of your channels open to possibilities that you might not have seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes really good sense to me.
Okay.
And I am totally willing to follow that suggestion.
Okay. So do you have any questions or thoughts or anything that you want to share that would help you feel more complete in this exploration?
I guess the one loose end for me is when that part of me comes up that feels responsible when my ex-partner is suffering, how do I handle that part of me? Do I just welcome that like an old friend and say, well, sit here as long as you need to, but I'm going to put my attention over here?
Okay, well, this is a really good question, and I'm really glad that you asked it. What happens is that we telescope our sense of responsibility, and especially responsibility for fixing the wounded and the broken,
mm-hmm.
onto, you know, whoever is our latest subject,
mm-hmm.
and in this case, it's your ex-partner.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you can't turn away from him because of the connection you have and because of the relationship you had, and it feels like somehow you are called to help.
Mm-hmm.
And with that recognition, you can then bring in the second piece, which is that he is you.
Mm-hmm.
And that every time you feel the compulsion inside to heal him, to help him, just turn that around completely to the place inside of you where that compulsion is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And hold that, love that, cradle that with your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make that a kind of meditative practice until, you know, that cord is cut between you and him. Because right now, you know, he's not really asking for you to heal him.
Mm-hmm.
You both know that you can't heal him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the projection of that place in you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know personally how powerful that is because I, you know, in leaving my marriage, I noticed that even though I was shown over and over again that it was time to go, it felt to me like leaving was turning my back, not just on one person who was broken and wounded,
mm-hmm.
but turning my back on all of those who have ever been broken and wounded since time began.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, somehow it had gotten wired up in me like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was really powerful. And what I, you know, what I ended up doing is exactly what I described to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a meditation, really.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 1,000 times I turned it around the way I was describing. And every time I did, a valuable healing took place within me. Mm-hmm. So let the calling toward him at this point forward, or from this point forward, let that be actually a wonderful thing, a gift, because it's telling you that in that moment you can bring some healing to that part of you that is being projected onto him.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah, that feels really freeing. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Well, you know, there's something else that I just want to say before we go, and that is, and this isn't even really to you, Linda, it's really to anybody who might be listening. Because I know you, I know that if it was the right thing to happen in this call, that you could have gone in and lived the questions. You could have connected deeply, you know, on an emotional level. The tears could have come. You could have had a profound, you know, energetic journey or an emotional journey. And the reason I'm saying that is because sometimes that's exactly what's supposed to happen, and other times it's not. Mm-hmm. And in our exploration today, I think we came to the crux of the matter for you, and it resonated with you because it's something that you had come to or were coming to fully in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became a question of, you know, are you really ready to live it? And what do you need to do to live it? And then now go live it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I'm saying is it's ironic in a way, because sometimes the sessions that look like they're the most transformative are the ones that have lots of tears or lots of big emotional release.
Mm-hmm.
But often, you know, it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel really excited because in our session today, I feel like we've galvanized you to, without a doubt, go forward in this way that was already coalescing in you, and that's all that really needed. That was needed. I mean, I really think it was like, yes, Linda, you're absolutely on track. Go for it, and the universe will support you. That extra nudge is really the only thing that was called for, you know, in our connection today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels right to me. I feel very validated. I feel reinforced in what I've been coming to. And it's
wonderful.
I will carry that with me into the world.
And just so nobody has to take it on faith, the way I just described you as someone who is more than willing and more than able to take those deep emotional dives, do you see yourself that way as well?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't, you know, that you didn't see yourself differently. Because so anybody who's listening has it on good authority from you and from me that, you know, having the facility doesn't always mean that you have to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is just like this. So I'm glad that you feel reinforced. I feel grateful to have been able to connect with you and to support you in this process. And as I share with everyone, I really hope that you will continue to keep me posted. And if there's any way that I can be of service to you going forward, you know where to reach me.
I do. Thank you so much, Raphael, and bless you.
All right. You too. You've been listening to Emotional Connection with Raphael Kushner. Our theme music is by Stephen Walters. For more information on this work, please visit my website, livingthequestions.org. This is also where you can reach me to ask questions and provide feedback, schedule your own private sessions by phone, get listings of upcoming events in your area, and learn about our unique year-long program. Once again, that's livingthequestions.org. Our second sponsor for this program is DIY Father, the choice for a new generation of fathers. Are you a brand new dad, like me? Or perhaps you're more experienced, or just found out that you're going to be a dad? If any of these descriptions fit, then please tune in to the International Dad Channel and the show DIY Father. Each week, International Dad and DIY Father present information, experiences,
and news for fathers by fathers. For more information and to join in the discussion, visit internationaldad.com and diyfather.com. That's our show for this week. Thank you for joining us, and here's to emotional connection.